Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the Wisdom of Yogi department here at Car Talk Plaza.
You talking about Eastern religion, or are you talking about the Yankees catcher?
What do you think?
It's got to be Berra. It's got to be.
Of course it is. Look, a listener named Danny Hurley sent us a collection of yogi-isms.
Really?
Some of which I hadn't seen, and in honor of the new baseball season, which is upon us.
Oh.
I thought I'd share a few of these gems with you.
He does have a way with words, doesn't he?
Well, it's not even so much words, it's logic, I think. Well, look, everybody knows his old line, and this exemplifies his logic.
This was great.
Nobody goes to Coney Island anymore. It's too crowded. but you may not know that Yogi is a great strategist.
Yeah?
Well, he once said, the other teams could make trouble for us if they win.
He's right. You can't argue with him on that one.
When Joe DiMaggio got married to Marilyn Monroe,
oh, yeah.
Yogi said, I don't know if it's good for baseball, but it sure beats the hell out of rooming with Phil Rizzuto. And he was a good planner, among other things. What? He once said, I knew I was going to take the wrong train, so I left early.
He's always thinking. I don't know how he does it.
And here's a great piece of advice from Yogi. I've observed this, I think, and you probably have too. Always go to other people's funerals. Otherwise, they won't come to yours.
That's only fair. That's the way it goes.
I'll give you one last one.
Okay.
One summer day, Yogi was talking to the wife of the mayor of New York, who happened to be John Lindsay at the time. And Mrs. Lindsay said to Yogi, well, you certainly look cool. To which Yogi responded, thanks. You don't look so hot yourself.
Well, maybe she didn't look so hot.
Maybe. I never met her. I don't know. Anyway, if you have a memorable line about your car, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. You don't look so hot yourself.
Emily calling from Kansas City.
Emily.
Hi, Emily.
How do we look?
You look great.
Okay, good. What's up?
Well, I drive a 1990 240DL. It's a Volvo.
Uh-huh.
And, well, we could probably do a whole show about my car and all of its problems.
We have done entire shows about your car.
I'm going to call you back every week with a new problem.
Okay.
The current problem is, so it was kind of having a hard time accelerating. And so I asked my brother-in-law to put some transmission fluid in it. Well, he checked it, and he put some transmission fluid in. It was almost empty. And then when I went to leave, it wouldn't reverse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I put the car into reverse, and it went into reverse, and then it wouldn't go. And so we had to roll it out of the driveway in neutral.
But prior to this, reverse did work?
It did, yeah.
Well, you don't know that because you pulled into the drive. How far of drive was it from where you first started noticing trouble to your brother-in-law's house?
Well, it had been months when it wasn't accelerating well. I probably should have checked the transmission fluid earlier.
And during those months, you were able to back it up?
Always. I was always able to back up.
Uh-huh.
And then as soon as he put the transmission fluid in, about 10 minutes later, I tried to leave. I put the car into reverse,
and
then it wouldn't go.
And you're calling us because...
Because it would
be
nice
to
back it up.
Oh, you want to get reverse back?
Yeah.
I want reverse back. I've been very creatively parking.
So you're trying to pin this on him?
No.
Because we can make a case for it, you know.
He's very helpful. I probably would have run out of transmission fluid had he not put some in.
Yeah, I mean, what cooked your transmission and what cooked reverse gear was running it low on fluid for all those months. And I am constantly amazed at how many people will drive a car with something obviously wrong with it for months.
It wasn't really working correctly when I bought it. I paid $600 for it, and the check engine light was on.
So you paid $600. How long ago was that?
That was at the end of May.
End of May. You had like three blissful months.
Yeah, blissful is stretching it. But
well,
yeah.
Three trouble-free, or relatively trouble-free. So you paid $600, and now... You're going to be forced to pay at least double that for a used transmission.
Okay, so I killed it.
Yeah, killed it. But
and
you know what?
Replace is the way you're going to do it.
Yeah. But you're going to spend at least $1,000 even to put a used one in.
Would you put $1,000 transmission in?
No.
No.
Well, it depends.
Okay,
I mean, you know, this car may be some kind of a gem, although we doubt it. But it would be worthwhile, whether or not you're going to do it, to find out what else is lurking. You might want to take it to your mechanic. Do you have a mechanic? Of course not.
No.
You think you might find a mechanic somewhere.
Go to our website.
I can probably find one.
Go to our website, cartalk.com, and look up in the mechanics files for a mechanic in your area that works on Volvos.
And there might be a lot of them.
Yeah. They're just waiting for you.
Yeah.
And go and have them check out the car. Tell them, you know, the transmission needs to be rebuilt. They'll verify that and find out what else is wrong with the car. When they give you a list that's so long that you can't possibly read it in one day, then you'll know it's time to get rid of the car and buy another $600 car.
All right. Well, you know, I could probably write that list, and I don't really even know anything about cars. So.
And more than anything, you want to make sure that the big items aren't going to break very soon, and the safety items, you know, ball joints and brakes and all that. So if it does need those things, then it's adios.
Okay.
You have never had any of this stuff checked, have you?
No.
I would do it. It's okay. It could be really, really dangerous.
Yeah, it is. Good luck. And you could be stuck on a railroad track someday, and you have to put it in reverse to move the thing, and you can't move it.
So, I'll just bail and let the train take
just
it.
Just run, exactly. Yeah. Good luck, Emily. You're going to need a lot
of
it.
Thank you.
See you later.
Thank you. Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, this is John calling from Greenwich, Connecticut. How are you?
Hey, John. Greenwich. We're good. We're just, maybe.
That's Greenwich, right?
Greenwich, right.
That's right.
What's going on, John?
I have a 1984 Ford F-150 pickup truck.
Do you?
Wow. I do. I got it on eBay about 6 years ago out in Oklahoma.
Of course you did.
That's right. But after, you know, six northeast winters, it's starting to show some body rot in all the typical places. So over the rear wheel wells and the front fender.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
So I've received about 13 different opinions on how to properly repair rust, ranging from, you know, find a whole new bed to you can patch it with patch panels. I'm looking for the definitive opinion on rust repair.
I don't think there's any such thing as rust repair.
Okay.
You got to get rid of the rust, and then you start all over again.
Right. So I'd get rid of it and start with maybe a 94 F-150.
Yeah,
that might. But so you're committed to this thing. You love it, and you're willing to spend ridiculous amounts of money trying to restore it.
You had me until ridiculous amounts of money. I love it.
You love it. And
how much of the vehicle is rust now?
All right. How much is it?
Yeah.
Either way. Go either way.
Over the rear wheel wells, it's through the metal on the bottom part of the wheel well, and then the back part of the front fenders as well is sort of through the metal, but. It seems like it could be cut out and patched with a patch panel, but
yeah.
I've had guys tell me that patch panels aren't worth it as well. So,
well, here's the problem: if the rust is widespread, as you begin to cut out the rusted part, you will find out that you have no unrusted metal to which you can attach these patch panels. And if that's the case, you're only buying a year or two of time before the panel that you hadn't replaced or the part of it begins to rust. And you're going to be ticked off if you spend $1,000 or so to put these in and have the thing painted, only to find out a year and a half or 2 years from now it's rusted again.
Right.
Have you gotten prices for replacing the entire bed?
Yeah, they're more than $1,000, but if you want to do it for $1,000, that'd be great.
No, I wasn't interested, actually. How much is the whole bed replacement?
No one's offered to find me the bed. They say, you got to find the bed, then we'll replace
it. Oh, and then they replace it for $1,000.
Yeah, but even finding a bed in the Northeast is... Every truck bed in the Northeast of that age has some rust on it, I think. So.
Oh, no, it's pretty clear that you have to take a ride through the desert Southwest.
That's right.
In fact, I think the place I'd be looking would be the Navajo Reservation.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, why not?
Be a nice trip.
Be a nice trip.
not in the truck, though. You know, I'm only getting about 8 miles to the gallon, so it would cost me more to drive there than to pay for the thing.
Well, you don't have to drive that there. You can find what you need and have it shipped.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think if you found the right pieces, or maybe another whole truck.
That would be...
You have a place to keep another truck?
I don't.
You don't?
I hardly have a place to keep the first truck.
Do you have a spouse?
I do.
Well, you won't have her for long. If you buy another truck. Oh, boy. So yeah, you don't have a place even to keep the first truck and no place to keep the second truck.
Right.
So if you did get a new bed, you'd have to have it shipped to the place that's going to do the work.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, how interested are you in having it look good? Would you be interested in instead in a unique look?
I'm afraid to ask what he's thinking about.
Exactly. I'm interested in having it I mean, it runs good, and you know, I guess one option would be to just, you know, run it until it doesn't run anymore, regardless of the rust, and then that's it. But it would be nice to have it repaired.
Yeah, I mean, but the rust is not only the inner fenders; it's also the outer fenders too, right?
That's right.
Right. So you're going to have to address that. And I, many years ago, I had a Dodge van whose wheel wells had all rusted. And I was able to a factory repair, my brother may remember.
I do remember it very well.
With large pieces of sheet metal, which I kind of formed to about the approximate shape, and about 6,000 pop rivets. So it looked like a quasi-military vehicle. It was kind of cool looking.
And that's the unique look.
That's the unique look.
I
sense a little lack of enthusiasm on your part for that look. Yeah, the rivets did cut the mileage down to about 4 miles a gallon. Pretty heavy. You know? Well, I don't think you have much choice. Oh, here's an idea.
Yeah?
You know, there are all kinds of trade schools which teach young kids how to do body work.
Oh, that's true.
You would solve a lot of problems here. Number one, you'd get the work done cheaply. They would cut out all the rusted stuff and weld in new stuff and finish it and with the body filler and paint it and all that. And the thing wouldn't be in your yard looking ugly and ticking off your wife. So maybe you need to find a trade school that's interested in learning some real hands-on stuff.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And even if you have to drive...
It may not be perfect, but it'll be better.
Right.
Yeah. It'll be perfect enough, as they say.
Perfect enough.
Good luck, John. You may have to go far and wide to find one of these schools, but it'll be worth the effort.
That's a good idea.
No, that's a great suggestion. I'll try that out.
All right.
Let us know how you make up.
Don't tell them you got the idea from us. See you later, man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Rebecca from Lusk, Wyoming.
Hi, Rebecca. From where?
Where?
Lusk, Wyoming.
Lusk.
Yes.
L-U-S-K?
Yeah, with a K. A lot of people think it's with a T, but it isn't.
Well, that's what was on Tommy's mind, but I can see his mind was in the gutter. But Lusk.
Lusk. I never heard of Lusk.
Well, it's like dusk.
Well, even a lot of people in Wyoming have never heard of Lusk, so it's in the... little town in eastern Wyoming.
Oh, I've never heard of Wyoming either.
So what's going on, Rebecca?
Well, I drive a 99 Volkswagen Jetta, and I purchased the car back in December.
Okay.
The lady that sold me the car said that she had always used synthetic oil in the car. Now, I've never used synthetic oil in my prior cars, and I was wondering if I should keep using the synthetic, if it will harm the engine if I go back to regular oil. And also, I guess, what advantage does synthetic oil give engines?
Ah, all good questions. If only we knew the answers. So you could certainly go back and use the regular oil,
mm-hmm.
or you could keep using the synthetic oil. What, you don't want to use synthetic because it's much more expensive?
I don't know. I never have bought it. I've always just bought regular oil.
Well, you know, since oil has been creeping up in price, I don't know what oil goes for a gallon, a barrel now, but when oil was up at $100-something a barrel, a quart of synthetic oil was not that much more expensive than a quart of natural oil.
Mm-hmm.
And synthetic oil does offer a lot of advantages. Number one, it has lower viscosity in cold weather. So if you lived in some place like Wyoming where it got really cold, you might benefit from that because
it's cold around,
you know, April.
June.
So you'd benefit from having better lubrication during those cold starts. That's
okay.
That's one advantage. The other advantage is it lasts a lot longer. It doesn't break down as readily.
Oh, okay. So could I get by with changing it less often?
Yeah. So, you know, if you were going to change the oil at, say, 4,000 miles with the regular stuff in there, you might be able to go to 8 or 10 with the synthetic.
Really?
Yeah, which does two things. It offsets the cost differential, but it also saves you time because you have to go half as often.
Yeah.
Then again, in Lusk, you may be looking for something to do. You may be, you know, looking forward to those oil changes. I don't know.
Well, no, I do it myself, so it's not a big deal. But I just wanted your opinion on that.
Yeah, I know. You can, and we used to suggest to people that they didn't switch back. You know, if you started off with synthetic, we used to tell people, well, don't switch back to natural oil. Or conversely, if you started with natural oil, don't switch to synthetic. But we've switched plenty of people over the years back and forth Mostly by accident.
And it hasn't made much difference.
Not at all. Okay. Yeah. So I would say you can switch if you want, but try to embrace the notion of the synthetic oil, because I think it might, you know, and if she's been using it this whole time, mm-hmm. why shouldn't you use it?
Well, sounds good. I appreciate the advice.
How many miles are on this thing, by the way?
I bought it with 137, and it's coming up on 140 already.
Oh, boy. You loving it?
Huh.
Yes, I love it. It's so fun to drive. It's the best car I've had yet.
So what kind of a pickup truck did you have before this?
No, actually, I've already owned two Volkswagens, but my parents live out on a ranch, and they've got Dodge pickup trucks, like a fleet of them. So.
Well, compared to those Dodge pickups, this is riding in luxury.
Oh, it is, yes.
Good luck, Rebecca.
Good luck is right.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Look, before we give the answer to last week's puzzler, we have to take a short break.
And when we come back, what puzzler will you be answering?
Well, it's a puzzler that's set in our fair city.
Our fair city,
yes,
yeah.
I think I said that.
Yeah, you did.
And I would say you ready for this?
Yeah.
It's a quasi-historical.
Huh?
Quasi-genealogical,
oh, yeah.
Quasi-constitutional,
uh-huh.
and quasi-bogus.
Well, that goes without saying.
The only thing it isn't is Quasimodo. Anyway, I'll have the whole story, and we'll take more of your calls in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
2 in the morning, out in the morning, the headlights quick, but no worries, honey, this truck knows where I live. It's got a 5 on the floor, it's got a dent in the door, and it don't take any loop. It's a F-150 1986. Radio smoking, tailpipe is choking, it pulls to the west. It's a death trap, baby, and I'm putting it to the test.
And even though Bob Dylan wishes the station were a-changing whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a jackhammer operator and miss grating noises when you get home.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Our fair city?
Yeah, right. Well, this was sent in by Jane Hinckley. And anyone who's listened to Car Talk knows that's how we refer to Cambridge, Massachusetts, the city where both of us were born.
Right. Our fair city. 02238.
Right.
Is that it?
That's it. And, of course, our fair city is home to the vast complex of buildings known as Car Talk Plaza.
Known to whom?
Well, the Cambridge tax collector.
Sure.
And anyway, this puzzler, paying attention now because we're getting into the meat of it now. This puzzler has to do with a man who, like us, was born in Cambridge, Mass.
Uh-huh.
And like us, his parents were also born in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
He lived his entire life here in Cambridge, Mass. You got that?
I got it, yeah. They were all too dumb to move to Florida.
Like, just like us.
Yeah, right.
So here we go. So the man was born in Cambridge, Mass, lived his whole life in Cambridge, Mass, and then died in Cambridge, Mass. But here's the interesting thing. He was never a citizen of the United States, and it was not by choice. He was never eligible to be a citizen of the United States. The question is, how's that possible? Now, we all know from our history.
Yeah.
You took history. There wasn't much of it, was there?
No, there was no history.
2 weeks. Your history course was 2 weeks when you went to school. Never even got Abraham Lincoln hadn't been born yet. We all learned that if you're born on American soil,
you're an American
citizen.
Yeah.
Right? Well, this guy wasn't. How could that be? Well, he wasn't a citizen because there was no America when he was born in Cambridge. It wasn't a country. The United States was not a country yet.
Oh.
And Massachusetts was not a state. It was indeed a colony of England.
Oh.
So he was a subject of the English crown, you see.
Oh.
And he was not eligible to become a citizen of the United States because
there was no United States.
Great.
Excellent. That was very good.
Do we have a winner?
Of course we have a winner. The winner this week is Mark Grieve from Macomb, Illinois. and for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Mark's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get a set of CarTalk reusable shopping bags.
Which are, as we speak, being ridiculed at fine supermarkets everywhere.
Right. Congratulations, Mark.
Anyway, we have a new puzzler still to come, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we'll take your car questions at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Mari, and for 3 more weeks, I will be from Santa Barbara, California.
Mari. And after that, where are you going?
My hometown, Rockport, Mass.
Really? So you're leaving Sun?
You're going to move?
What are you, nuts?
Rockport? What are you, crazy?
You're moving from sunny Santa Barbara. People would give their right arm to live there. You're going to move to Rockport where the ocean water is 51 degrees in the summer.
I know.
Well, you must have family here or something like that, huh?
That's exactly right. I'm going to take care of my dad.
Oh, we can't blame you for that. Well, anyway, how can we help you, Mari?
Well, I have a 98 Honda Civic. What happens is I slow down or I come to a stop, and after I start to accelerate, the gas goes. No gas, no nothing. And I take my foot off the gas since I'm not getting any gas,
and
I'll put it back on the pedal, and it'll buck. Like, it'll catch and buck like a wild bronco. Woo! And it's very embarrassing, and it's very scary. It doesn't happen all the time.
Uh-huh.
And I've taken it to a mechanic, and of course, I haven't been able to reproduce the problem.
And you're going to drive this thing across the country? Oh, boy.
Well, it's so funny because last week you had a thing on should I ship my Honda Civic or not, and I decided to ship my Honda Civic.
Ah. Oh, good. Well, when you get here, we can look at it for you. You drive right up to the studio.
Yeah.
When this is happening, does the check engine light flash on and off?
No. Mm-mm.
Has it ever been on?
Nope. Hasn't ever been on.
Did somebody take the bulb out? When you turn the key to the on position, does the check engine light up?
Yeah.
It does. So we know that it works.
So it works.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so it hasn't come on. And and this fellow who's or woman who's looked at it, what has this person done?
Taken a little machine and put it on part of my car.
All right, so they hooked up a scan tool to it.
Yes.
To try to see if it had any code stored. And it had none?
He said it could be the idle valve motor, but it could be other things.
Well, that's pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, because I'd like one of those other things, maybe.
Well, I've gone to someone else, and they're like, no, it could be your fuel injection. And I'm like, well, help.
Well, it could... how many miles are on this thing? It's got to be 160,000 miles on it, right?
No, 96.
Just 96,000?
I know.
What, have you been a shut-in?
No, I just drive around town. Why leave Santa Barbara?
That's what we were asking.
Unless you're going to take care of your dad.
Unless you're going to take care of dad, of course. Well, so here's what I think at first blush what it could easily be, and it's something that these guys should have checked. It could be a clogged fuel filter.
That's easy to fix.
That would be easy, yeah.
And when was the last time you drove this thing at, like, sustained high speed, like 60 miles an hour or more for, like, an hour?
I drive it for about 45 minutes to an hour every month, once a month.
And does it always perform
pretty
satisfactorily?
Pretty well. It's around town that that bucking happens.
It's around town that the bucking happens. Well, in that case, it probably isn't the fuel filter, although it certainly is worth looking at.
Okay.
So when you're driving around town, well, if you should slow down and then step on the gas, that's when it does this funny thing.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't happen all the time, just occasionally.
It doesn't happen all the time.
And when it's doing it, can you get past it by flooring it?
No, I have to take. I tried that. I tried that, and it just didn't do anything.
Really?
I just slowed down.
Is it worse on damp days?
It's so rare here.
I know.
probably not.
No, it's so rare. I mean, it's kind of like paradise where you live, isn't it?
It's beautiful. It's been like 75 degrees for a
couple
weeks.
Oh, shut up. If you want us to help you, you better shut up right now. Anyway, so you're taking off from a dead stop or you're accelerating from lower speed and it seems to be acting up. You know, there is another piece called the throttle position switch, which could be affecting this.
Okay.
The other possibility is, and this is something that, in fact, we had a Volvo in, that had been in the shop over a period of several months. And the owner of this car was having pretty much the same problem. And every once in a while, she started having trouble starting the car. So it would stall out on her even, and then she couldn't get it restarted. And what we finally ended off doing was we kind of gave her, or loaned her, rather, a fuel pressure gauge, which we left hooked up under her hood. And what we determined finally was that her fuel pump was bad. But it was only bad like one day out of the month. And the rest of the time, it was fine. She could drive the car on the highway. The fuel pressure was perfect. But when it misbehaved, we asked her to jump out of the car and read the fuel pump pressure, and it was like less than half of what it should have been. And we have no explanation why this was happening, but the pump was either binding up or not pumping the right amount of fuel. And if that doesn't happen, then the injectors can't make the car go faster.
I'm getting a good feeling about
so
that.
So I would have them check the throttle position switch, and there's a very simple test for the TPS, but also have them check the fuel filter.
Okay.
And to check the pressure that the fuel pump is putting out.
Okay.
And
all
if it's borderline, replace all that stuff.
Okay.
All right. In any case, you're having it trucked here. If you're lucky, it'll fall off the truck maybe in Missouri. See you, Mari. Tell him don't bother to tie it down.
Right.
Just throw it up. Just pull the handbrake. It'll be good.
If you lose it, you lose it.
see you later.
Thank you guys so much.
Bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Mike from Fishtail, Montana.
Hey, Mike. What, Fishtail?
Yes, sir.
Fishtail.
Really? Isn't well, that
better,
an interesting name?
Better than fish head.
That's right.
What's going on, Mike?
Well, I've got a 1996 Ford F-150, four-wheel drive, five-speed manual transmission.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get our really cold weather, like 20 below, my clutch loses all its fluid.
Oh.
When it gets above freezing, no problem.
Oh.
I've had the slave cylinder replaced twice now, probably.
Well, that requires taking the transmission out.
That's correct.
Huh.
And it's expensive.
So now when it misbehaves, what do?
I just, put more fluid in and then pump it up and go until it drains out. And then I put more fluid in, pump it up, and go.
Oh, so it's going to be the master cylinder.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Somehow or another, the cold weather, as we know, causes what? Shrinkage.
Right.
Yes, we do.
And the shrinkage is allowing probably a few drops of fluid to escape, but more importantly, probably some air to get in. And that's making the pedal spongy. So when you try to disengage the clutch, you feel like you have a lot of free play because you're trying to compress the air that's gotten in there.
Well, it has so much free play that the pedal stays down on the floor.
Oh, you have to work it with your hand.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think it's a no-brainer that you need a clutch master cylinder. That's a classic symptom.
Ah.
Yeah. And generally, when we buy these, we buy the whole gizmo. I don't know if they must sell it separately now. But we used to buy the master, the tube, and the slave cylinder all as one piece.
Uh-huh.
And put the whole thing in.
Ah.
And it's kind of, idiot-proof then because you're replacing the three pieces that it could possibly be.
Uh-huh.
And you don't have to know which one it was
or care. But since you have already put in a couple of slave cylinders, I think we're going to dismiss that as a possibility.
Okay.
So throw yourself a master cylinder. But you don't have to worry about it now until what?
Yeah.
End of August when it gets cold again in Montana.
No, probably about, November.
Yeah. All right. Well, you got plenty of time to think about it. But put one in. I think that's going to do it.
Oh, that's a good. Well, thanks.
All right, Mike. See you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. He must be saying, what did I think of that? 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Penelope calling from Seattle.
Penelope, how are you?
I'm good. So I'm calling because you guys got me into this quandary after listening to you for like 30 years.
Uh-oh.
And so you're the only ones. Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope.
Oh. Okay, well, go ahead. Let's see what we've done here.
All right, so I have two vehicles and I need to sell one. And both embody like one of your major tenets.
Oh. We don't even know what our major tenets are,
but you'll tell us.
I'll remind you.
All right.
So the first one is a 1988 Mitsubishi Mighty Max macro cab with a canopy, and it's got 94,000 miles. And
this is a truck for people who don't.
It's a little mini truck.
It's a little. It's a little. It's like a Mickey Mouse little truck.
It's an adorable little truck.
Yeah.
And this fits the category of your advice of like, well, but, you know, if the repairs cost $1,000 or $2,000, like, that's still cheaper than the cost of a new car.
Yeah.
All right, so I've been applying that for 10 years.
Good.
Okay, that's good. $1,000 to $2,000 per year for 10 years. Okay, I got up to $10,000 to $20,000. Okay, go ahead.
All right, the second one, I finally caught on to exactly what you were saying. I thought last year in 2009, hey, you know, why put another $2,000 into this truck? I could put that as a down payment on a 2009 Honda Fit Sport that has airbags.
Yes, safety.
Yes, safety, because I know you want everyone to be driving a car with airbags.
Yes, yes.
Sure.
Well, you've been listening, Penelope.
I know, I've barely been listening.
We need every listener we can get.
We can't lose any.
We can't have people dying all the time.
So you went out and bought a Fit?
Yeah, yeah. So I bought a Honda Fit, and it's wonderful. And I get great gas mileage, and it costs like $20 to fill up.
But your heart is not in it.
No. Well, okay. So I do have a little bit of sentimental attachment to the truck.
Yeah.
Here's the financial part. For the truck, right, I could get maybe $2,200 if I sell it.
Yeah.
The Fit, I have like 46 more payments of like $370.
Holy cow, what does this thing cost you? $75,000?
I know, I'm an idiot.
46 payments. Okay.
46
we won't payments. We won't do the math. We don't want to embarrass you with the math, but go ahead. So you got 46 payments. Well, selling the truck is not going to put a dent in those payments.
Yeah, if I sold the Fit, then I.
No, you can't sell the Fit because then you would have me driving around in the Mighty Max with no airbags. No. You the Mighty Max is now has to be relegated to occasional use. Like the 4th of July parade, going to the dump, or when the Fit has to go into the shop for a major recall. Those are the only times that you are going to be...
Take the plates off and put them on.
Take the plates off the Fit. Right? Get the magnetic plates. So the only time you're going to be allowed to drive the Mighty Max from now on, Penelope, is when you know, a special occasion or when you can't drive the Fit.
But you know, so I want you to tell me, like, which piece of advice is...
The piece of advice that's more, I would disregard anything we said 10 years ago.
Hey, I've been living on that.
Oh, you have? Oh, who didn't mean? We just said, seriously?
Oh, I see. It's just of that moment.
It was advice for the moment, but it's been superseded by our concern for our listeners' safety.
And back in 88, a new car wasn't any safer than a 78.
Or 68. but in the last 20 years, lots of stuff has come down the pipeline, and new cars are much safer than cars that were made 20 years ago.
Right. I mean,
back in the 80s, you couldn't buy anything that had an airbag, really. It made sense to keep fixing it because there wasn't anything on the horizon that promised to be a lot better. But now we have traction control, we have electronic stability control, we have tire pressure monitoring systems, we have airbags, we have side curtains. You got all kinds of bags in that thing.
I got ABS brakes.
ABS
wow.
brakes.
Yeah.
You name it. So now we've changed, we've adapted to the times. We've changed our tune. So you have to get rid of the pickup truck. And you'll be all able right. to sell that to some brain-dead teenager.
I've gotten offers.
Oh, on the truck, you mean?
Yeah, on the truck.
Stop it. So you could sell it to anybody, and I'm sure it's the cutest little thing, and then you can enjoy the Fit and you with a clear conscience. You'll know that somebody's using the Mighty Max and they're benefiting from it.
That's true. And did you guys like the Fit?
Yeah, I like it.
It's a zippy little car.
It is a zippy little car.
It's wonderful.
No, it's fine. It's fun to drive, and it's cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, enjoy it.
All right.
Call us back in 20 years when the next moral dilemma approaches.
Thank you very much.
See you, Penelope. Thanks for your call.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Look, before we get to the new puzzler, we have to take a short break.
Yeah, but before we do that, I got a letter from a fellow mechanic, Jim Coriat.
Is it hate mail? I can't
Actually,
take it.
Actually, no, it's not.
All right, then go ahead and read it.
All right, here's what it says. I own a classic Land Rover restoration shop in New Mexico. Recently, a customer sent me a box of brownies to try to accelerate the work on his car.
Mm.
He said he got the idea from your show.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. The brownies were great, but for future reference, why not suggest a large screen plasma TV? I think that would be even more effective Cheers, Jim.
Well, you know, I'm sure Jim's not being greedy. He's just kind of worried about his waistline, right?
Of course
he is. I mean,
those
brownies can take their toll after a while. Well, look, right after the break, I'll have this week's new puzzler, which comes from my Leaving the Scene series.
Great.
And we'll have that and more of your car questions, too.
So please stay tuned. You on the verge of your life as you hear the noise they make. Let me introduce my new Rocket 88. Yes, it's straight, it just won't wait. Everybody loves my Rocket 88. We're moving on out, moving and grooving along. A V8 motor, it's a modern design. Black convertible top and the girls don't mind. Sporting with me, running all around town with joy. Look out, cause here we go. And even though Madagascar hissing cockroaches wish they could do a lot more than hiss whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the new puzzler. Mm. The germ of this puzzler was sent in by a fellow named Ken Dales. And I decided I had to rework it a little
of
bit.
Of course.
Of course. You ready? Pay attention.
Go ahead.
Back when I was in college, I had a great part-time job driving a delivery van. You know, one of those Dodge Ram vans or something to that effect. I never asked exactly what I was delivering or why. And like I said, the job was great. Real good money. And occasionally I got to use the van on, you know, weekends for whatever, you know, like camping or starting my new midnight moving business. Now, with all the money that I made, I was able to take a week off for spring break with my classmates. I think we went to Mexico, but I'm not sure. Anyway, upon my return, I was, of course, broke and eager to get back to work, as you might expect, right?
Mm.
Well, the first day back, I hadn't driven the van in a while, I noticed when I was driving a rumbling noise coming from the rear. I wasn't too concerned, but I figured I'd mention it to the boss. Well, he wasn't too concerned either, so I forgot about it. And then one day, about 2 weeks later, I was making a delivery about as far out of town as I had ever been when I noticed that the rumbling seemed to be getting much worse. Mm-hmm. That's always the way it happens, right?
Of course.
I was driving down a slight incline when I heard a loud bang, like a gunshot. Mm. I always knew this guy was involved in some shady stuff, and I figured somebody was shooting at me. But I never really expected gunplay. Anyway, after the gunshot, the engine began to race, and for a few seconds, it sounded like something was dragging on the road. Jeez, I thought. As soon as I could, of course, I pulled over, shifted into park, and turned off the engine, and got out of the van to see what the blazes was happening, right? You'd do the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, within about 1 second, I realized I had just done something terribly wrong. I had made a terrible mistake.
Yeah, shutting off the engine.
What did I do that was wrong? And, oh, yeah, what had actually happened? Now, if you, right, you with me? You got it? You got all those things?
I think I got it, yeah.
But can you remember it by next week?
No.
Now, if you think you know the answer, inscribe it on the authenticity plaque of a National Geographic limited edition Everest World Globe, featuring a hand-blown, artisan-made 20-inch illuminated glass sphere, dual-sided map, 38-inch high hand-carved base made from maple and hornbeam woods from Germany's Black Forest and polished brass meridians, and send it along with some pushpins to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
If you have a question about your car, give us a call right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Bev. I'm calling from Pawtucket, Rhode Island.
Dev or Bev?
Bev, as in Beverly.
Oh, Beverly.
Oh, Beverly.
From Pawtucket.
Yes.
What's going on in Pawtucket?
What's going on is I drive a 2007 Passat wagon, and the car was making a thump, thump, thump noise, brought it to the mechanic. He changed the tires. It did not fix the thump, thump, thump noise.
Uh-huh.
Took it to the dealer. He said it had something to do with the sound dampener. So he fixed the thump, thump, thump noise. But as I'm driving out, I should have driven right back in, but as I'm driving out, suddenly a tick, 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 tick sound starts. And it's when the car idles and also when the car is going.
So he replaced a vibration dampener? Is that what he did?
Something about a sound dampener, so maybe that's what he did replace.
Sound dampener. I don't know what that is.
I don't know.
Something about a bushing?
Oh, you know, this noise that you, this thump, thump, thump you were getting.
Yes.
Was when you were moving only.
Yes, when the car was moving, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, so he replaced some part of the shock absorber, I suspect, and whatever he calls it. If you call it a sound dampener.
A sound dampener.
But since that got fixed, you're now homing in on perfection. You want all the other noises to go away.
Well, we didn't have this tick, 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 tick noise, and now we do.
And you didn't go right back because?
Oh, because, you know, I was on the way home, and I had to get somewhere, and of course I should have turned right around, and I didn't.
Yeah. And the tick, tick, tick is coming from?
The engine.
The engine, and it's, you'll hear it whether you're moving or not.
That's correct.
Mm. Ah. Yeah, that's
so as soon as you start it in the morning, there it is, tick, 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 tick.
There it is, and it's loud.
Well, that's good.
Okay, why?
Well, that means it'll be easy to find.
Because if you open the hood on the first thing in the morning, you might be able to tell right away where the noise is coming from.
You could find where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it could be a lot of things, certainly. It could be they didn't do anything else while the thing was there. They didn't give it a 30,000-mile checkup or any of those things. They just addressed the thumping issue.
That's correct, yes.
Well, it's unlikely that they did anything to have affected this.
Okay.
Although you don't know precisely, so you will have to go back to them. But it sounds to me it could be something as simple as a worn belt.
A worn belt.
To make that tick, 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 tick kind of noise. I imagine as you rev up the engine, the ticking gets faster.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so it's in lockstep with the speed of the engine.
Mm-hmm.
It could be something as simple as a loose spark plug.
Okay.
Or a bad coil. Does the thing seem to run smoothly, or is it running rough?
No, the car runs fine.
Yeah, I would go back. It's probably something simple.
Okay.
Yeah, wheel's probably going to fall off.
I have four new tires.
No,
it's not fall off.
No. The fact that it's happening when the thing is not moving is a good sign. It means it's probably not anything that's life-threatening.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
It could be a valve that's making noise.
Oh, no. Don't even tell.
Well, I have to. I have to. Our lawyers would insist.
Okay.
And you should, at the very least, check the oil.
Check our oil. That's an easy one.
Yeah, because if you're low on oil, it could cause a hydraulic lifter to make noise.
That doesn't sound like a good thing.
No. Well, if it's
not terrible.
It's not terrible, but if it's low on oil and one of the lifters is starved for oil, you can get a tick, 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 tick from the engine.
Okay.
If it's got plenty of oil in it and you're getting a tick and it is the lifter, don't call back. you won't want to know.
Okay, I promise I won't.
All right, see you, Bev.
Thanks very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, how you doing? This is Nathan Rockefeller from Elliott, Maine.
Hi, Nathan. What's going on?
Hey, I'm wicked excited to talk to you guys. I've been listening to the Click and Clack car education show for years, and everything I don't know or do know, I attribute to you.
Everything you know incorrectly.
Exactly.
Well, let's see if we can further your education, Nathan.
I got a 99 Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Uh-huh.
And I've done a lot of work on the brakes. I've replaced the rotors and the pads in the front and the rear. And the latest round of brake troubles that I had, I replaced the calipers in the front as well. My partner in car repair is my faithful wife, who is always willing to jump in the car and pump the brake pedal so I can bleed the brake.
Yeah.
The last time I did it, everything seemed fine. That was a few weeks ago. And then we took a trip, and we hit negative 20-degree temperatures up in upstate New York. Ever since that incredibly cold day, anytime I put my foot on the brakes all the way, like to the floor, I hear a nasty noise. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
All right, it kind of goes, like it's begging for mercy.
And where's that noise coming from, do you think?
I think it's coming from the booster. It's really loud, and it echoes from under the hood around the booster.
And the noise only occurs when your foot is down on the floor almost.
Yeah.
As soon as you take your foot off the brake a little bit, the noise goes away?
Yep, but if I'm even at a complete stop in a parking lot with the car in park, if I really give it some brake, it makes that nice whining noise.
Good, good.
Yep.
Good, good. That narrows it right down. And you figured out you need a booster. And what's wrong with the booster is that the diaphragm is damaged. And so when you step on the brake hard, you're pushing that diaphragm to the point where it must start oscillating, and you're getting the same kind of noise you would get if you put a piece of tissue paper over a comb and you blew.
Ah.
You know, does it sound like that kind of noise?
Yep, yep.
You know, like that?
Yep, sounds like that.
That's it.
Fourth grade, make a musical instrument.
That's it.
So now that the weather's warming up a little bit, you need to replace the booster.
Okay.
And it's really easy to do, but it's going to require that you, you unbolt it from the firewall. And of course, you unbolt the master cylinder from it. Lots of times, if you buy a rebuilt booster, you'll get a master cylinder with it.
Is it worth replacing the master at the same time just because of the age? The vehicle's got about 100,000 on it. Like I say, it's a 99, and I know the fluid hasn't necessarily ever been flushed other than the 500 times I've had to bleed the brakes.
Right. Well, that's good. No, I would replace the master cylinder at the same time. Why not?
Okay.
Yeah, and we'll be working at a different location next week, so if this answer's wrong, you won't be able to find us. See you, Nathan.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Joe from Kansas City.
Joe,
hi,
what's
Joe.
Going on, man?
Oh, not much. A little frustrated here. We had some snow over the weekend.
Oh.
Better you than us.
I suppose.
Yeah. What's wrong with your car, though?
Well, it's really my roommate's car. My car, I was changing oil in it, and I stripped the oil plug, so I had to oil it or order a new part from the store. And so then Saturday morning rolls around, and we get like 8 inches of snow.
Uh-huh.
And so, and my car's up on blocks in the driveway, and it's a one car garage, so I had to wiggle my roommate's nice, shiny black BMW.
Oh.
Out of the garage, out around my car in the snow, down to the auto shop and back. So I got there fine, got the part, got back, and now I'm frustrated because it's snow and I'm about to finish changing oil in snow. But
well, you could now push your car into the garage.
There's a lot of things I could have done better.
Yeah, and you could have not stripped the plug, but we won't go there.
So I'm trying to wiggle his car back into the garage around my car. And I get the back rear wheel into the garage, and I'm like, sweet, now I have some traction. I can get this baby in, move on with my day.
Sure.
I give it some gas, and it spins and slides, and the car scratches the side of the garage. And I'm like, shoot.
I bet you shoot wasn't the word you said, but that's all right.
No.
Yeah.
So, needless to say, I put a pretty good scratch on that rear left bumper, shiny black Beamer. And then to top it off, I stripped the new oil plug, and then that night, KU has to lose in basketball and completely play like crap. So Saturday was a bad day for me.
Did your girlfriend break up with you or anything like that, too? I mean, that would just be the topping, right?
I know. I should have expected it.
So what's the issue here now? Should we talk about your stripped drain plug first? No.
I think the issue is if there's a way I could get this fixed economically, get it back to the condition it's in without doing it at a dealership where it's going to be, whatever, $175 a man hour or something.
Is the car black?
Yeah.
Well, that's good because there's only one shade of black. No, there is.
Okay.
I mean, you know, there's only one. Black is black.
Right, all right.
So if it's a true black car, then you could probably spray it with a spray can. But if it's a fairly new car.
I think it's a 2006.
Well, you can probably go someplace and have them paint it. Just the bumper. Is this just a bumper cover, obviously? Is it damaged?
No, it just looks like the paint kind of got scraped a little bit.
Yeah, but any body shop, you know, worth its sand is going to want to, you know, sand it down and prep it and then paint it. And
okay. That's
going to cost you a few a few hundred bucks.
Okay.
You know, that's not so bad.
No, that's not so bad.
Does he know you did this or is he out of town?
No, he knew I did this. I would have felt guilty hiding it from him and stuff.
Yeah. Was there any chance you could have hidden it from him?
Probably.
Let him think he did it.
Bill, look what happened to your car, man.
Yeah.
So you'll fix it, and that's the right thing to do.
Okay.
Whatever it costs you, but you don't need to replace that bumper cover.
Okay.
So let's go back to your 92 Civic that you stripped the oil drain plug on.
Yeah.
So did you go to the Honda dealer and buy a new drain plug?
No. I ordered it from O'Reilly's.
And when you put it in, what happened? It wouldn't tighten up?
I tightened it up, and I was like, okay, cool. Getting it tight right about, oh, boy. And I stripped it again.
Right, because what you stripped is the pan, not the plug.
Oh, okay.
Right. You stripped the threads in the oil pan. So what you need what you need to get now, what's that thing called? A tow truck.
Yeah, that's what they're called.
There's a kit. We have a kit which allows us to to actually tap new threads into that pan and put what's called an insert in.
Okay.
And an insert has the threads that used to be there.
Okay.
Okay, you see what I'm saying? So what you do is, yeah, is you drill a hole, a bigger hole, thread this device into it and cut new threads into the pan, and either you can put an oversized plug in, or you can use the factory plug and use the insert that has the correct threads on its inside and these new larger threads on its outside.
Okay.
So you can take this route. You can try to buy a rethreader kit. You may be able even to get one from the Honda dealer.
Okay.
It may not be much cheaper than buying a new oil pan.
Oh, okay.
You could do that too, and it's actually pretty easy to change on this car.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
you'll have it done by, like, June.
So do I, to save the oil I just put into it, do I flip the car over?
You flip it over,
yeah.
No, but if you don't think this is within your grasp, then you'd be well advised to take it someplace and have them do it, because it's not a really expensive job. I mean, we get, like, $50 to do it.
Okay.
But if you're willing to do it yourself, it could be a great learning experience, Joe.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good luck.
Yeah, and You might want to move your car out of the way so it's easier for your roommate to get his Beamer out of the garage from now on.
Right.
Good luck, man.
Thank you
very much.
You're
going to need it. Bye-bye.
All right.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David the Calves of Belleville Green. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Bahrain, Lo Mein, Whole Grain, Calf's Brain, Plantain, Roast Grain, Sugar Cane, No Pain, No Gain, Food Chain, Gravy Train, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Hey Would You Buzz Off. Our local news producer is Phil Matt Levin. Our figure skating coach is Landon McKeister. Our tax preparer is Bernice Documents. Our sensitive language advisor is Holly Schmidt. Our missing persons investigator from the Tel Aviv office is Yehuda Guy. Yehuda Guy! Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Mandy Luce Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the tofu smoothie makers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
That's what I said. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1013, sashay through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com, or you can call the Shameless Commerce Division at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, something that's actually useful.
What, how to avoid car talk in your area?
No.
I know. It's Click and Clack's 12 signs that you should pull over immediately.
Is Tito's Taco Barn on that list?
No, you wouldn't pull over for that. These are automotive things. Obvious ones like when there's smoke coming out of your vents, and less obvious ones like when certain dashboard lights start glowing.
I could have used this about 6 cars ago.
Well, it may not be too late for your Fiat, so check out the 12 signs that it's time to pull over now.
It's available all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Melissa Block wonders if they still need counselors this summer at Camp Hiawatha whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.